are listening to Young Life Interrupted, a podcast dedicated to 20 to 40-something caregivers. I'm your host, Adrienne Glusman, changemaker and professional speaker on the topic of millennial caregiving and a former caregiver to my mom who battled multiple system atrophy. I'm a former corporate gal turned entrepreneur with a passion for filling a huge need I saw during my 10-year care journey, that finding your tribe and connecting with them regularly is essential, and that resources exist for caregivers, but not tailored specifically to young ones. I help young caregivers find community and connection to support them through every step of their care journey. Now, I'm ready to share stories, insights, and tips with you here week after week. Caregiving at our age is your unfair advantage. So if you're looking for support, you're in the right place. Let's kickstart today's episode. Welcome back to another episode of Young Life Interrupted. My special guest today is Laura Smothers Chu, who is the CEO and founder of Befriended Heart, a for-purpose business that specializes in empowering long-distance caregivers of dementia. As a long-distance daughter for 7 years, Laura understands firsthand the struggles caregivers face when caring for their parents afar. And through Befriended Heart, she helps long-distance caregivers navigate their parents' dementia. With a 10-plus year career in healthcare, Laura is certified to advise elders, she's a certified dementia practitioner, and she hosts a YouTube channel called Joy in Dementia. Laura, I'm so happy to have you on this episode of the Young Life Interrupted podcast today. This is definitely a topic that I hold near and dear to my heart, as I've talked about on the podcast before. I originally started out as a long-distance caregiver living in New York. My mom was in Florida. So I'm just so excited for your expertise and your perspective on the topic of long-distance caregiving, specifically as it relates to dementia. But before we dive into like the heart of the conversation, you know, my podcast is dedicated to young caregivers. So everybody listening to this is a young caregiver, will be a young caregiver, was a young caregiver. So I'd love to for you to just give a little bit of background about your story and how you came to become a long distance young caregiver.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for having me on your podcast, Adrienne. Of course. And I think it's so important to start to help young caregivers where they are. I think that the healthcare industry is not quite there yet. They're still antiquated, you know, and they're not really giving us the resources we need when we need them. And so I really appreciate that your podcast exists. And yes, so I was 28 years old when my dad was diagnosed with mild cognitive impairment, which did end up leading to Alzheimer's. And the rub with that was a couple things that, you know, I lived 3.5 hours away from my parents. And also my mom was not yet ready to accept the diagnosis. And that is not a rare thing, right? In the clients that I work with, there's a lot of caregiving parents that are just not ready to accept that diagnosis of the forgetful parent having dementia. Mm-hmm. So that was absolutely my situation. And I struggled a lot with trying to find what can I do from 3.5 hours away. Mm-hmm. And you and I were talking earlier about how there's this stigma against long distance caregivers that we, you know, don't care about the situation, that we can't help from far away. And I'm really trying to disrupt that.
Yeah, I love that. Like I said, when I began my caregiving journey, I was a long distance caregiver because I moved to New York City at 25 years old, never in my life imagining that something would happen with my mom. And when my mom was initially diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, it seemed manageable at first from a distance. And I was able to take on responsibilities being like a 2.5-3 hour plane ride away that I think a lot of people take on. And one of the things I know you're going to cover too is also the stigma of, well, I don't care for this person 24/7. I'm not hands-on. So I can't consider myself a caregiver. But 100% you are a caregiver. So
Yes.
I know I hear that sentiment so often between, people who are long distance caregivers, and they're handling so much of this like back end admin work that comes along with caregiving. Caregiving is not just the hands on part of it, but there's so much else, as you know, and as everybody listening knows, between the doctor's appointments and the insurance and the finances and the long term care plans and all of the things. So I feel like caregiving is a multi level job.
Absolutely. Yes. And everyone, all hands on deck. Like, we need all hands on deck, right?
They say, with kids, that it take, what is it they say with kids? Like, it takes
a village.
It takes a village, but it takes a village when you're caring for a loved one too. It's just not as it pertains to taking care of kids. So,
absolutely.
So that said, Laura, I would love for you to kick off by hearing more about your take on the relationship between long distance caregivers and primary caregivers when it comes to caring for a loved one with dementia. I know specifically your story is specifically related to dementia, but I also feel that for the long distance caregivers listening to this podcast, it's just kind of general knowledge and understanding about long distance caregiving in general. So I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
I'm so glad you asked this question. So let me talk about my personal experience a little bit, because that's what's informed how I feel now about long distance caregiving, and the dynamic between the primary caregiver, whether that's your parent, in my case, it was my mom, or someone else in your family. There's always going to be this dynamic between the primary caregiver and the person that's not living with the forgetful parent or the loved one with dementia. Right.
Right.
So, In our experience, I mentioned that my mom was not yet ready to accept the diagnosis. That happens a lot. That was probably for about 3 years, I would say. And I was doing all the things behind the scenes during that time. Mm-hmm. And what I noticed, especially during that time, was that my mom was really surviving day to day, doing the hands-on care, even in the early stage, right? Because there's a lot, they're going to ask you 15 million questions, the same thing over and over again, right? We all know this.
Yeah.
So there's sort of like really important role that the primary caregiver is playing. But the healthcare industry, it just drives me so crazy because they send all these resources to the primary caregiver and you're like, when do they have time to read this? Right.
100%.
So the burden is on the primary caregiver to read it, not only read it, to learn it, mm-hmm. to know who are the, for example, if you're trying to hire home care in the home, right? Like, what are the best companies? There's just no time for that. And there's also there's not even like any emotional capacity, because why should there be, right? Because primary caregivers are not only taking care of their loved one with dementia, that likely they also have a career. They're taking care of their own families, right? It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
And so what I found was that, okay, well, here's what I can do. I can start to think about the long-term planning, as you mentioned a little bit earlier, right? Like, we can start looking at, updating the wills, looking at both my parents' finances. I think we make the mistake of thinking like, oh, how are we going to take care of our parent with dementia? But there's also the caregiving parent that we have to worry about their finances and their health plan, And so really, I found that because I was removed geographically and also in a sense emotionally, right, that I was able to have this bird's eye view that my mom could not have, because she was still in the forest with the trees,
Sure.
I mean?
Yeah.
So, and just seeing the trees. And so I saw that opportunity there. And so I find that, and my mom had a really hard time in expressing what she needed help with, right? Because she was so overwhelmed. And that's what I find the clients that I work with, the long distance clients that I work with, like, their parents have the same thing. And they're like, they just don't know what to tell someone else to do, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's so much easier to do it yourself, right?
Yeah.
So I think that there's a couple things. I think that long distance caregivers, I truly believe that they do want to help. There are some that, would rather not, right?
Yes,
but always. I will tell you that I truly believe, and this may be because I'm a very optimistic person and I believe in the potential of everyone, that that long distance caregivers, even if they're like 5 minutes away from their parents, as long as they don't live with them, there's this like emotional and geographic distance that you feel, right? And so the idea is that, and there's also this feeling, I sense this feeling because I'm on Instagram and I see what a lot of caregivers are putting up. And I think there's this feeling that you want to be able to blame something or someone for this dementia, right? We all have that anger and it's easier to blame someone else. Mm-hmm. And because dementia is intangible, it's very difficult to blame that. But sometimes our blame goes towards the other caregiver in the situation, right? So yeah. I would actually, you know, I don't feel great about this, you know, but when I talked with my mom on the phone, I would make suggestions that were perhaps not the most compassionate that I could have been, right? And then she felt resentment because I wasn't able to help as much as she wanted me to. But for us, it was a lack of communication. We didn't know, right? I didn't know what I didn't know. She didn't know what she didn't know, right? And so I see there being so much potential for long distance caregivers to share that burden with primary caregivers. That's really like my end message. And I do feel that even if long distance caregivers, because I hear from primary caregivers like, oh, but my brother doesn't help. He doesn't care. He doesn't want to, right? I truly believe that as long distance caregivers, we all feel that guilt. We all feel that helplessness. It's just a matter of what are we going to do with these feelings, right? Because we could have a very complicated relationship with our parent with dementia that, you know, the sibling doesn't know about. You know what I mean? There's all these things that are underneath the surface. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like there is so much potential for long distance caregivers to share that burden with primary caregivers and that stress and the overwhelm.
Yeah. I think you make a lot of good points. And I think for those of us or those people that are listening who might be the primary hands-on caregiver for their loved one, and might have a sibling that lives in another city or out of state, that either maybe wants to help or maybe isn't helping as much. And, you know, I feel like that's an interesting dynamic too. Is it that they don't want to help or is it that they don't know how, right?
Yes.
And they don't know what to do. So what are kind of some of those initial recommendations or ideas that you might be able to give to someone who wants to kind of open up that door and open up that conversation to that long distance relative, like whether it's a sibling or maybe it's even like a cousin or an aunt or an uncle, somebody that feels like they want to be able to do more. What are some things that you can suggest that the primary caregiver kind of opens up the conversation about?
I would say definitely starting with the fact that we are a family and I really value our relationship and I would love to include you in, you know, this role of taking care of our parent, you know, really coming from a place of compassion and mindfulness, you know, and I know it's so hard because our primary caregivers are so overwhelmed and so stressed out that it's easier to be like, oh, they just won't help and I don't want to try, you know, but I do. And that's why I work with long distance caregivers because I'm like, no, here's what you need to know, you know, and I actually talk to them about understanding what it's like to, you know, have dementia, what it's like to be a primary caregiver, right? So then they have that knowledge going into it and they're not just making suggestions like willy-nilly that are not helpful, you know, and can come across as trying to be bossy and being controlling. So if the primary caregiver feels like they are in a space to do this, mentally, emotionally, you know, time-wise, really just reaching out and coming from a place of unity and, you know, really like, hey, I really trust your judgment. You know, I would love to have your help with this particular thing. And I also understand that, you know, you have your own career and you may, you know, you have a certain amount of time. So I'd love to just talk about about maybe what some of the options are, you know, and how, what would work with for you and what would be a good fit for both of us.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. That's just like, trying to be compassionate and constructive, and also recognizing that, they also have a life as well, right? Just like everyone does. And so, but I think that way, the long distance caregiver will feel like, oh, there's an open space for me, mm-hmm. you know, and it leaves a little bit more room for like, oh, well, I'm not doing so great on finances right now, but how about I help, you know, research some good home care companies, right? Yeah. So.
Yeah, I love that. I love it because it's also taking into account the capacity of how that long distance caregiver can help. But I also think sometimes, like you were saying, as the primary caregiver, first of all, you don't even have the mental energy to even think of ways that someone else who says, I want to help, or like a long distance, like you were a long distance daughter or son or anyone. So I think just kind of having some of those initial ideas about kind of tasks that they can offer up to offload, like whether it be to your point, just like researching home healthcare companies or researching like long-term care facilities, even like starting to like look down the road and potentially starting to research and put plans in place or research like what is this next phase of dementia or cancer or whatever the illness might be. Like, okay, this is where mom or dad is. This is what that next phase is going to look like. Can you even research so I can start getting an idea of what that looks like? So I love that. Just coming up with kind of a list of some ideas, because some people don't even know when people offer to help, like a long distance caregiver, they don't even know what to say, even if it's their own sibling or cousin, or, you know, if it's your spouse, even like the parents of your spouse who might want to help. So that's really helpful.
Yes, exactly. And I'm so glad you mentioned that, Adrian, because that is the first thing I did. I researched all the stages of dementia. I gauged where my dad was. I looked at what was coming up in the future. And that's what kind of led to, okay, we got to get another law attorney. We got to, you know, figure out what the finances are. We got to figure out what's going on with driving. How are we going to have that conversation? You know what I mean? I think that it was so helpful for me to have some kind of framework to go off of. One thing that drives me crazy is people will be like, you know, professionals will say, oh, well, everyone's different. Every dementia is different, you know? And I'm like, that gave me nothing to go off of, you know?
Thanks so much for nothing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, great. Yes, we're all individuals, but how does this help me strategize or make a plan? You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like learning what the stages of dementia are is so important. And what is so beautiful about that is that if the long distance caregiver is starting to research that and you can share it with the primary caregiver, the primary caregiver is like, oh my gosh, like you understand what I'm going through. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's really where the main disconnect is. And I can tell you, you know, conceptually, I knew what my mom was going through as a primary caregiver. And then I actually had my dad, stay with me for a week. And so I could really see what it was like, you know, and I make this recommendation to long distance caregivers I work with, like, please have, you know, the person with dementia stay with you for at least a week, ideally in early or mid stage. So you can at least see what it's like and also give the primary caregiver respite.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, I mean, that is everything. And that's exactly what we're trying to transform, is really, fixing or creating that connection between you and a sibling, whoever the other long distance caregiver is. The amazing thing that I've seen in my work is that all of these relationships can transform if you believe in someone's potential and you don't have expectations.
I love that. Because I think a lot of people think, well, I'm the only one. I'm the one that's here. I'm the one that knows them best. Like, you know, we can do it all, right? The reality is we can do it all. Is that sustainable? Absolutely not. Are we going to be the best ones to do it? I know that's how I was. Like, I could never let go of those reins because I was like, yeah, well, I'm the best researcher and I'm the best. I get my mom to eat the, you know, it's so many different things. So it's so hard to even let the reins go, but as primary caregivers know, like, you cannot do it all. And when someone offers to help or there is a long distance caregiver in the picture who can help, take advantage 100%.
Absolutely. And I love that you said that, Adrian, because I think this is so important to keep in mind that there is a stigma. We like primary caregivers, there's an expectation that primary caregivers can do it all and do it all perfectly. Right. And also keep your loved one with dementia inside. Don't bring them, you know, this is all very painful, but we all know this
right.
subconsciously, because these are the messages that we're getting from our society. Right. And the same thing with long distance caregivers. You know, we get this, we have this stigma that we don't care, that we can't help, you know, and so recognizing that we're all being conditioned mm-hmm. by what we're surrounded by. Right. But that may not actually be the truth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's such a good point that you make, Laura. So tell me more about Befriended Heart, your business, and like how it came to be and what is it you do to help give back to and serve long distance caregivers?
Yeah. So a couple years after, my dad was diagnosed, I really recognized that there was this huge gap in providing for long distance caregivers. I mean, quite honestly, I remember back then I would go to popular dementia websites, won't name any by name, but you know, I actually read an article about what long distance caregivers can do. And it really didn't give me anything. It said, you guys should stay out of it and don't meddle, you know, don't cause conflict with a primary caregiver. And I'm like, well, that didn't help at all, you know? And so I created my own path. And I mean, even now, like, yeah, there are some articles and they say like, oh, well, you know, try to financially help. And like, that was not realistic for me as a 28-year-old, you know, caregivers are getting younger and younger. So it's still very antiquated advice. Same thing with like, oh, help them with errands. Well, I was 4 hours away. That's not realistic.
Right.
You know, that's the advice that people are still getting. So I'm still seeing this huge need. It was so important for me to be able to use my personal experience in talking about it. I think there's a lot of professionals out there, again, something I found when I was on my journey, where they're like, oh, well, you should do this. And this sort of like disconnected, don't really understand what we're going through, sympathy right. versus empathy type thing. And so I really wanted to say, here's the thing. I have been there. Mm-hmm. I have gotten through it. This is what I did. And you can do it too.
Yeah. No, I love that, Laura. And I think the common theme amongst a lot of us is when we come out of our journeys, we've gained all of this valuable knowledge. And, you know, like you, like I was in a very similar situation when I fell into caregiving at a young age. And I was like, I felt like I was the only one. And even though there are millions of young caregivers out there, and I'm sure I don't know the numbers in terms of long distance caregivers, but I'm sure it's pretty high up there. It's like feeling like you're the only one and feeling like you have to go through this alone. It's the most isolating feeling on top of all of the other emotions that are coming along with getting thrown into this new role and path. So you know, I love like myself and like you, just kind of taking what we learned from our journey and creating something, to really try to help serve others so that they don't have to go through the same thing. And it sounds like that's what Befriended Heart is all about.
Totally. Totally. So I essentially help long distance caregivers with getting through the journey. I incorporate mindfulness. I incorporate strengths assessments. It's very comprehensive because I think it can't just be, here are some great tips, right? Because this journey is all encompassing. And that's what I try to address in my work.
Yeah, I love that. So Laura, for those long distance caregivers who are out there, or maybe the primary caregivers listening to the podcast who have a sibling or somebody else that maybe they want to approach about potentially becoming a long distance caregiver, or now they might have some better ideas about things they can offer up to them. You know, what are ways that people can find you? Because you're such a great resource, and I've never seen anything out there for long distance caregivers other than when I started following you on Instagram. So I know that your resources are so valuable, and I want to make sure that everybody listening to this podcast can get their hands on them. So where can people find you?
Yes. Thank you so much for asking. And I am, as far as I know, the only dementia professional that specializes in long distance caregivers. And I also want to say just really quick, the way that I define long distance caregivers is not by a certain number of hours. It's only if you don't live with the person with dementia. So I believe that we're all long distance caregivers because there's still that emotional disconnect.
I love that.
That being said, my website is joyindementia.com. Mm-hmm. And I actually have a awesome guide that's all about the dementia stages. We were talking about that a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
And really tailoring it to long distance caregivers. What does this look like? And also what's a good step to take for each stage? So I'm really happy about that. I've gotten some really good feedback on that. So
yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. And of course I will link to Laura's website and her Instagram handle. I follow her on Instagram and she always has great posts and Instagram stories that I know will be really valuable to people who want to follow you. So Laura, just thank you so much. Like I said, as a former long distance caregiver, I just love what you're doing. And I love that you are yet another young caregiver who now in stage six, as I defined in the caregiving years, have really taken your experience and are making it your purpose to help others in a similar situation. So thank you for what you do. And I look forward to staying in touch.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Young Life Interrupted. Be sure to subscribe to the show. And while you are there, leave a rating and review. I read each and every one and love hearing from you. And if you're ready to connect with your tribe of fellow young caregivers who can do for you what friends and family just can't and fully get what you're going through, come join us over in the Young Life Interrupted group on Facebook. See you here again next week. Until then, keep finding those silver linings and celebrate the small wins.